Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, with my co-host, Dr. Mary Oberstein. Hey, Mary.
Hi.
Good to see you. And
you
welcome to another edition of Life by Life West. Today, our guest is someone we've known, I don't know, man, how long we've known this young man, this strapping young man. Coming from Colorado, outside of Denver, Colorado, we have Dr. Matt Panetti. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, yeah. I thought I was going to be held ransom. Mary had told me that I wouldn't be able to see my grandkids or whatever. So that's the message I get. I'm going to stick to it. Dr. Matt has a great practice. He's practices in Glenwood Springs. Is that what it's called?
Totally Greenwood Village.
What is it?
Yeah. I mean, Glenwood Springs is a nice town. It's just not where we're at.
Yeah, you're Greenwood Village. Greenwood Village. That's my Colorado geography coming up. Him and my daughter, Lauren, you got there whatever years ago, but you've been practicing for 11 years, right? And been there for about this practice for about what, like 9 years maybe, or 8 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably about that at this point, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a great practice. I'll tell you a little about Dr. Matt. Grew up in the Denver area, basketball star in high school, ended up playing college basketball in Colorado. And from there, he went to chiropractic college and came to San Diego and was in our practice, for maybe a year and a half or 2 years. And then, ended up, him and my daughter decided that they wanted to raise a family and do what they wanted to do in their life in Colorado. So they moved to Denver, and he's got just a really phenomenal practice, which we'll talk about today. But just doing really wonderful things. Three beautiful kids. He's Braxton, who is his oldest, and Scotty is his second child. It's a daughter. And then, of course, he just had a baby, Payson, in October. And just doing amazing things, man. I'm really excited to have our people get to kind of hear, like, firsthand what you're doing. So very, very exciting. And Mayor, do you want to start off?
Well, let's just jump in. Normally, we start out with your story of not how you found chiropractic, but how chiropractic found you. And I'm always really interested in the story. I actually know your story, but more for the viewers. And I want to hear it again of just like how chiropractic found you.
Okay, so I was playing college basketball, and it was getting close to my senior year. It was the preseason, and I started dealing with something called cluster headaches. And the cluster headaches were making it really hard to play basketball, making it really hard to go to school. And so I started going down the road of, what could I possibly do? I went to school in a really small town, and they didn't have a lot of solutions, but they had neurologists, they had a medical doctor, they had some massage therapists, the traditional chiropractic offices, those sorts of things. And I went to the medical doctor, got all the medications, the migraine medications, the Vicodin, the oxygen tanks. I went to the massage therapist, but I didn't really get much relief from any of it. It was frustrating. The only thing that really helped me was morphine, and they gave me three of those injections before they cut me off. And I was in a really bad place. I felt pretty hopeless. I was getting depressed because I didn't know what I was going to do. I couldn't go to school. I was playing basketball. It was just a bad place to be. And luckily, I got introduced to this idea of chiropractic. I've been to chiropractors in the past, but more from the sense of, you go in there when you have pain, they pop, they crack, and then you're out the door, and they don't give you much of an education or understanding around what's going on. It was more of just the regular everyday chiropractic. And I heard about this other gentleman who practiced chiropractic in the model that I like to practice, which is strong on the education around subluxation, and he really just helped me understand there was more going on here than just treating pain. It was about my nervous system. It was about the function of my system. And it was more than just treating my cluster headaches. And so I went and saw him, and within a couple of weeks, I was back playing basketball. And with, you know, it was such a life-changing moment for me in so many ways. I had no interest in science or the body or chiropractic. And then after that, that's all I wanted. So that eventually took me down the road to become a chiropractor myself.
That's so cool. And you know what, I tell you what, and I think this is really neat for our viewers to hear. You know, the very first chiropractic hospital that was ever set up was set up in Denver, Colorado, right? Spears, right? Mm-hmm. Dr. Leo Spears, many, many, many moons ago, he set up the Spears Hospital, right? And there she is. Hi, Scotty.
Hi, Scotty.
And it was a chiropractic hospital. And your grandmother, Matt, used to take your father to the Spears Hospital, right? For whatever type of care. And it's just so cool that your dad was like rooted in this, right? And then, you know, never pushed you, obviously, never did anything. And then here you are, a chiropractor. Pretty, pretty cool, you know?
Well, that was the interesting thing. I never really got too much of a push either way. My mom was very medically based, and my dad was obviously from that slant. So I kind of got both sides, but never really pushed either way until I had to make a decision myself. And, you know, ultimately went this way too. It was meant to be.
Yeah.
Grandma.
Yeah.
Hi, Braxton.
Hey, Braxton. How are you, man?
Good. I went on a go-kart today.
Oh, wow. I heard. Wow. Pretty cool.
I love it.
Love it. Did you have fun?
Yes.
Cool.
I'm in an arcade too.
So Matt, you also, wasn't it, didn't you do a YouTube video or there was something on YouTube about cluster headaches that you did?
Yep. Yeah, that was when I was practicing in your office.
Right. And didn't it just go viral or something? I remember you got like a ton of people coming in from that. Wasn't it just that one video?
Yeah, that was the worst video I ever made too, which was kind of funny too. I was so bad at it, and it was such bad video quality, and everything about it wasn't great, but it hit for whatever reason. And yeah, I still get emails and calls from that video today. That was like 11 years ago.
Yeah, the story was right. You know, I mean, the truth is when it's your story, it's right. You know, that's so powerful. But I want to switch gears. I, you know, Matt, I think one of the things, and I'm talking to you more about, you know, coming from an outside perspective, looking in, and, you know, and more from a chiropractic perspective, you know, not from a family perspective, anything like that. You know, one of the things that I see is that you have a phenomenal balance, you know, in your practice, in your life, you know, your family life. And there's always room for everybody's improvement, right? You know, I remember when you and Lauren, you know, started your practice in Mary and our office, right? That first year, you took like 6 weeks off. And I remember Mary and I remember this, we were adjusting their people. You know, a lot of people were adjusting their people, our people. And I looked at her one day and I just said, there's something wrong with this picture here. Like, we're the ones who are supposed to be on vacation and you guys, but it just, you know, your balance has always been something that's been very strong. And I love that. And I want to talk to you about that because, you know, obviously it's something that's important to you. So I'd love for you to share with our viewers, because I think what happens sometimes is people get in, they just grind and they grind for 20 years, 30 years. And it's a grind, you know, and it's like, and the joy, it doesn't, I mean, it's okay to work hard, but the joy and the balance just seems to kind of slip away a little bit until they get burned out or whatever happens. You know, talk to us about how you got that set up. What's your key? What do you feel some of the keys to your balance?
I mean, it's funny hearing you say that because, you know, in my head, like, I grind. I mean, everybody, to each their own, right? But, you know, I choose my times to grind, I guess, is probably, you know, when the kids are asleep, I'm grinding. If it's early morning and no one's up, I'm grinding. You know, I try to be as present as possible, and I could be better, I think. But, you know, watching my dad growing up, he had that as well. He was really always trying. I mean, he never missed a basketball game of mine. He was always there, you know, in all the important things. And I just always wanted to do the same thing and just be there. So, and another thing about it, like when you go to chiropractic school, it's a lot. And I don't know if this is just ego, but I never could accept going for another 5 years putting up with all the work and effort that it is to become a chiropractor and then not having an amazing life. Like it would frustrate me to no end to do all that and then get out and just be like, you know, everybody else working the 9 to 5. I couldn't accept that for myself or my family. I wanted to make sure that I was there, I was present, and then we also lived a good life. So when we started that was the mindset, was we're never going to go down this rabbit hole of just too busy. We can't do anything. We've got to be able to to enjoy our lives. That's why we did all this. We got to appreciate it too.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Mira, I just want to just bring one thing up, because what you said, Matt, was, you know, we're supposed to grind or just, you know, we put our nose down and we work when we're working. The issue is that people don't know how to take off from work, or they don't know how to take that. You know, listen, I mean, Kobe Bryant, you put him on the court, the guy's 115%, right? Put him in practice, 115%. Maybe when his kids are asleep, he's watching film. But when he's not working his designated times, right, designated hours, he ain't working, you know? And that's what allows him to do the stuff. And that's what allows you or other people to be the best you can be, is because you can't grind 24 hours a day or 18 hours a day, whatever it might be, you know, and that's what I'm talking about. I really love that balance and to be able to see that, you know.
Well, and what I was going to say too is, like, my theory is always sometimes in life, little things are big things. And you probably don't know this because you probably looked at this like it was just something that you do, but you recently shut down the practice. You took a Wednesday afternoon off to show up to Braxton, a play that Braxton was in his enrichment program, and yep. Tell the audience his part in this play. How long did his part last?
It was a short play. It was like 5 minutes, but his part was probably 30 seconds. But it was cool because he got to see me, and, you know, he knew I was there. And as soon as you walked in, I gave him a little fist bump. And, you know, that's, you know, when he gets to be my age, he's going to look back and he's hopefully going to do the same thing with his kid, you know.
Yeah.
It continues.
And that maybe I'm glad because, again, when Lauren told me that you shut, she's like, yeah, Matt's shutting the office down in the afternoon. I know how many people you see. So it's not like there were 10 people you had to call. When Lauren told me that, I started laughing because I know that Braxton had like two lines to say. So when she said, yeah, Matt's not going this afternoon, he wants to be there, I started laughing. And then I went, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like what, like Braxton will, he'll carry that for the rest of his life, that you made him that kind of priority. But that just says a lot, because I know I do see you get up when I'm there and you're out at 6 in the morning or before that. So I know that you work really hard, but you play hard too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. And play really hard. And, you know, Matt, we'll frame it for our viewers. You know, right now you're maxed out. So you're capped at what you can see, right? Single practice, a single practitioner, as far as your side. I know Lauren just went back into her practice in the office, but you do your thing, know the amount of people you need, right? You know how to fill it if it starts to dip at all, right? Which we'll talk about. But talk about your hours. What do you work? Just shifts.
So Monday and Wednesday we're there full day. We do two shifts, morning and then evenings. And then Tuesdays we're there in the evenings, and then Thursdays we're there in the mornings. We set it up for Thursday to be the last shift, and we wanted it to be ending at about noon so that, you know, we could go to San Diego, or we could go to Phoenix, or we could go somewhere else for the weekend and not have it hit office hours or anything else.
So you're off then, let's just say noon, 1 o'clock, whatever time, and then you're off on Thursday afternoon, all day Friday. You don't go in on the weekends unless there's emergencies, whatever it might be, right? And yet your website says you're there 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, like whatever the website says, 9 to 6. I don't even know what it says, but I know I went on it recently because I was talking about this with one of our students, and I said, oh, this isn't what I'm talking about because it said that. But, you know, what'd you tell me?
Well, back in the day when we first opened up the office, we were taking anybody and everybody to get the thing built up. And so I thought, you know, if we put our real hours up, we're going to miss a lot of these people calling in from online because they're looking for somebody on a Friday. And back in that point, I would drive down to the office on a Friday if somebody knew was needing to see us. So I what I've learned is, even if they weren't looking to get in right away on that Friday, if we advertise that we're there, a lot of them are going to reach out to us anyway. So I've just kept it there, even though our hours are, not quite that extensive. It just helps with the new people.
And
I have a question, and this is probably more for the listeners and for people who have said, well, I feel like you have to be open in evenings because people work. Do you know how many people you've lost or how many people have said, I won't come back to you because the only evenings you're open are Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday?
I mean, probably a handful over the years. Really hasn't been what you worry about and think about. You know, if I changed those hours online, I doubt it would have impact, but it isn't much, Mary.
And the cool thing is, like, you know, you don't need to have a ton of new patients coming in. It's not like you're looking for 50. You couldn't take them. I mean, you don't have the room. You know, you found your sweet spot as a single practitioner, right? And I want to get into the finance piece, but you found your sweet spot. But then if there's ever a lull, what do you do to turn it back on just to kind of get the faucet going?
Yeah, there's a bunch of different ways you could do it. What I found to be, at least for us, the best way is to get talks, you know, in the external talks, be it a lunch and learn or to a sports team or group. We do a lot of those if you know, each month we do them. But overall, if we ever need something, we go back to those. I learned that from Brad Glowacki back in the day. You guys had hooked me up with him when I first started. That's the best marketing I've ever done, was just listening to Brad Glowacki, whatever he said. And, you know, we've paid a lot over the years for different seminars and marketing, but nothing has come close to the return we've gotten from Brad. He has always been the guy for that stuff.
Shout out to Brad. Throw this on Instagram, Brad.
Well, and your number, because I talked to Lauren about this and she'll tell me when you've done talks. Oh, you know, I'll say, where's Matt tonight? Oh, he's doing a talk. And then I'll usually follow up the next day. How'd the talk go? The numbers are, your stats are really, really good.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I reached out to Brad, I don't know, a couple months ago, just randomly. I was texting him. I was just thinking about him one day. I was like, you know, dude, you have been so amazing. Thank you for all you've done, blah, blah. And he writes to me, he goes, is everything okay, dude? Are you all right? I was like, no, yeah, I'm good. I just wanted to let you know how much you mean to me and what you've done.
Yeah. He's great. He's great. And the amount of people that he's turning on the chiropractic through you and through other people, you know, we never know how far reaching, right? Just incredible. So Matt, talk about finances, because you know what? You have to find that financial balance too. And when somebody reaches their cap, whatever that is, it doesn't matter if it's 100, 300, 400, whatever it is, right? And you have your cap, we don't need to speak numbers, but you know, you always adjust your finances, right? And you were telling me that last time I was out in Denver. And I find it phenomenal. People pay your fee, right? You hold a high value, but how do you kind of figure, what kind of formula you run through?
You mean in terms of like our visit per fee or our fee per visit?
Yeah, fee per visit. You don't have to give numbers, but like what, like, you know, you obviously you put it through a litmus test or whatever you do, because every year you tend to increase it, right? You go up like whatever percentage, like, you know, it's not because you want a Mercedes or you want to do that, but obviously costs go up. And once you're capped out as far as what you can see. So the way you make more is by increasing, but that means that you give a great service and people don't even blink an eye with it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of that comes down to differentiation, which is I think probably one of the stronger suits that we have, is just being able to separate ourselves from the rest of the market. So I don't compete with every chiropractor that's down the road from us. That helps us. The thing that I think drives it more than anything though, is I listened to this podcast. I listened to this guy named Alex Ramosi a lot, and he was talking about the amount of money you charge for whatever you do, if you're not constantly increasing it, and I can't remember the number, 8%, 9% per year, you're losing money over time. And so I heard that, and it was kind of like a gnawing in my stomach once I heard it, because, you know, I don't really think about it, but it's true. All my insurance goes up, my utilities go up, my rent goes up every year, and the staff, you know, we pay more for our staff every year. So if I'm not increasing my fees, I lose. And what I found is most of the time when you raise your fees, it's in your head more than it is around the practice. They're not batting there. A lot of people congratulate you on your fee increase. They're like, it's about time, or good for you, you know, or is that it? So I don't see the pushback. I've never had anybody leave or walk out of my office because of our fee increase. I don't increase our fees, you know, in a huge way every year. That's not what we're doing, but everybody's always on board.
Right. And I think what our viewers, you know, just to understand that, if let's just say if you go up 5%, right? Just I'm making that up number up. You go up 5% a year, right? It's not a lot on the 5%, but as it grows over 3 years and over 5 years, you just went up 25%, and it doesn't affect people as much, right? Because they're watching a 5% increase. And like you said, everything else is going up, cost of insurance and cost of, you know, gas and cost of electricity and, you know, that stuff. But I love how you keep that balance, because you know what? It's kind of like you have to have your mind on your business and, you know, knowing what you need in your business so that you can then go and serve and be that servant without thinking about the business. You know, it's great to see.
And I have a question on that. So would you say, though, raising the fees, has it to be able to do that, you have to be comfortable doing that? Correct. Like you have to hold that you have value in your service.
Yeah. Correct? I think it actually makes you have more value in your service when you do it, because you're naturally inclined to be more on top of things and more trying to drive more value for people, because you're increasing your value, your fee value anyway.
So that's because one of the questions I'm going to ask you, again, more for the viewers, like what do you like? And again, it's only from talking to people that were like, I want to increase my fees, but I'm afraid that people will leave, or I want to increase it, but the number seems so high. Like it kind of what you heard you say, it's almost like, no, increase it. And then it's almost like it comes afterwards, right? Then you like, you're almost put on the spot to like, just give better service, right? Would you say that that's part of it?
Totally. Or you add more value in the sense of maybe you set up a workshop series, or maybe you bring in something that just adds more to the process, or whatever you're doing, however you're living your, whatever your deliverables are, be it the adjustment, maybe they're doing something else in their office. We only adjust people, so that's all we're really delivering. But we have seminar series. We put on different workshops and give different resources. And so that's another way you can set up your fee increase. Yeah, we're increasing our fee $5, and we're also adding this, this, and this. That can take the edge off too for somebody who's worried about doing that, I think.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. All right, Matt, I just want to kind of open up something. Three biggest, I don't want to say mistakes, because there's no mistakes, they always lead us, but three biggest challenges or whatever, as you were growing and what you were doing, what, two or three, could be four. What were some of the top ones?
My first biggest challenge, I think, was myself, just my ego and wanting to just create something and have like my own mark on it. I think that was a failure, but also something that pushed me, you know, like I was in your practice and I had that, you know, watching you guys, thank goodness I was in your practice, because I learned so much valuable stuff that we use today. You know, majority of my practice comes from you guys. But just being in your practice, you know, I'm not the personality that should be an associate, and that's not a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just such a driver in that way. Like I had to have my mark. And I think that took me off course a lot before I got on course and found something that resonated with me in the way that I could like put my whole energy behind it. So that was part one. I wasted probably a couple of years just because of my personality and who I am. But another one that I think I struggled with, and I still do to this day, is online marketing. Part of the reason I do so many talks is because I can't figure out online marketing to this day. I know more about online marketing than I think most do, because I've studied it ad nauseum, but I really don't have any results to show for it, which is kind of a pain in my side. But I also, you know, I just haven't figured it out and made it work for my market. I'm sure it works. I haven't come up with a solution. So that's another, I wouldn't call it failure, because I'm not giving up on it, but it hasn't been fun.
Yeah.
And then I think staff as well, like learning to be a leader and coming up with how to be not let the stressors of running a business and having a family and having other investments and other things like that sour my day and ruin, you know, how I'm going about leading others, you know, and, that are working on my team. That's been a learning experience, and I think I've gotten a lot better at it. Our front desk staff's been with us for 5-6 years now, and I think that's a testament to how much better I've gotten at it, but it took me a long time to get good at it. So I don't know, I've had a lot of growth, a lot of maturity to come by. And Lauren, to her credit, has been probably the biggest pusher and the biggest reason why I've grown so much, because when I'm not growing, she lets me know about it and makes sure that I catch up with her, because she's way up all ladder levels above me on most of this stuff.
Yeah, she certainly has a way of being very observant and sharing it, you know, which is really good. It's really healthy,
and,
you know,
and holding you accountable.
Yeah,
she's good at that.
The rest of your life, bro. The rest of your life.
I have a question, and it's kind of off the wall, but it's just burning in my head. So when you were in San Diego, we watched you, like you were always refining your report of findings. You've gone through some changes with that. I'd love to sit through your report of findings now, because I'm sure it's awesome. Are you always tweaking it, or is it like set in stone now where you're like, I have it down, the system is just easy for you?
Yeah, it's more like you guys now. Because when I was in your practice, I remember you guys were just like, you knew what you were going to say. You had a framework to it, but it was like, it was a little different each time. And when I was, you know, that age, again, this is back to like the personality, I needed to have something that I could continually go back to, just to like make sure that like every time it was good, because I needed to convince myself first and foremost that I could do something like this. And two, like I needed to watch this thing and see what worked and what didn't. But nowadays, I honestly can't tell you the last time I haven't studied, and not to say that's a good thing, but I haven't really practiced a report of findings forever. I think about the person I'm about to walk into. I prepare what I'm going to say to them, but each person's different now because and it's more natural and things work better. Our percentages of accepting people into care have gone way up, you know, because it's more of a personal thing versus a script or, you know, right. This is what I got to say.
And you own it. You own it. You know, it's like, it isn't easy. You walk in to tell someone exactly what you feel they need, not what the doctor needs, what you need, what the patient needs. And, you know, they want it. They don't. And most people do. That's why they're there. Right. You know,
it's a nice day to practice when you walk into a report of findings and you're not nervous. And you're relaxed and you're just excited to, you know, I remember getting in practice, and it probably 20 years of practice, I walked in once and I didn't have a lot of time. And I walked in and the staff was like, you got 2 minutes. Like, we're so behind. I walked in and I said, I just like, what's the best thing I could say to this person? I was like, I'd love to be your chiropractor. And I remember, and the guy goes, sounds awesome to me. I was like, we'll go over your x-rays tomorrow. We'll go over your exam tomorrow. How does that sound? Does that sound good? He's like, yeah, can I get adjusted today? And I thought, I've made it. Right? Like, all of us, like, this is the line, and this degree should be between 8 and 12, and yours is 13.
So simple. Yeah. Cool, bud. Well, listen, we're kind of hitting that time right now that we're going to kind of wrap it up. But Matt, everybody who comes on a Life by Life West, we ask them two questions, because this is your first time on, at two questions, and innate response, whatever hits you. It could change tomorrow. Doesn't matter. 30-second max and probably less, but you'll get it. But we're going to ask these right now. So Mary, you ask the first question.
Okay. So with all your vast knowledge and wisdom that you have today, if you could go back and you could talk to Matt Panetti, first day of first quarter at Life University, and you could stand in front of him right now, what advice would you give him?
Oof, 30 seconds for this one?
Yeah.
Innately, what would you tell yourself?
I would say it's going to be okay. You're going to be fine. I remember being in first quarter thinking I didn't belong there, because I had a business background. You know, I was a basketball player. I didn't know anything about science. So to just know that everything's going to be okay and you're just going to be fine. Trust yourself.
Yeah, it's huge.
And hopefully you're going to meet your wife.
Well, that too. I would have said, yeah, that girl over the court.
All right, second question. Same scenario, but now you're Dr. Matt Panetti, and you're going to speak to Dr. from where you are right now, speak to Dr. Matt Panetti, just graduated, right? So now he's a doctor. What's the one thing you tell him? Bit of advice.
You know, I remember being outside of your house on in San Diego on Mount Soledad, crying on the phone with my dad because I was just so frustrated with, you know, where I was and just how things had gone. This was like the first year of practice. And I just remember that. And fast forward to today, just telling myself, you know, it's okay. You're going to be just fine, which is what he told me. But, you know, in that moment, you're just so frustrated. You spent all this money in school and you just don't know what the hell you're doing. And just knowing that time will play and you'll continue to get better and all these failures aren't failures if you don't give up and it gets better.
Right on. You know what? I mean, my takeaways today, Matt, go through the process, you know, right? That's the big takeaway, right? You know, just go through, but go through it with eyes wide open, go through it with feelings, go through it with frustration, go through it with everything. And for our viewers, but go through the process no matter where they are, right? And the other thing that I got from you today was that, you know, it's kind of like mastery, you know, you get to a certain place, you know, and then, you know, people are always looking to keep going up and up and up. But the truth is you got to master it here, and poof, pops up here, master that, poof, pops up again, master that, right? And it's like, be in the moment with it, right? And I love it. And I really mean this. You know, a lot of people have fear about shutting down. A lot of people have fear about, you know, they have to be open 24/7 and they have to do all this stuff and be everything to everybody, you know, and you, when you set the balance up, you will find the people, right, that are going to come in and they respect that and they're right there. And I just got to tell you, man, I'm really inspired by that, you know, that you're at your max. What a great place to be, you know, it really is. It's a great place to be and be able to, you know, keep moving and keep doing your thing. So excited for you. I'm excited for your future.
And appreciate, I was going to say, and the simplest, best advice that I've heard you say for all the students and all the young docs is you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Simple as that, right? I mean, your dad told you that and you'll tell your kids that. And, you know, sometimes it's as simple as that. Like, it's going to be challenging. It's going to be hard, but you're going to be okay.
We were talking about that yesterday real quick. My son Braxton, because he was playing basketball and got beat and he was upset about it. And he's like, I don't want to play basketball. And I was like, dude, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. I get it. I like watching you play. Like, if you don't want to play, don't play. But also just know that you're not going to, the only way you're getting better is if you lose and if you fail, because that's what drives you to get better and to figure things out. The guys that keep winning, it's hard to stay on top because there's nothing to work on. It's the momentum isn't, the pain isn't there. You know, it's not real enough. And the people that are losing and are failing, they're the ones always working harder. The only way you actually fail is you give up. Okay. And that's, you know, for the students and the practitioners, though, if you give up, that's when you fail. If you just keep pushing, eventually you get to figure it out. Same thing with my social media marketing. Eventually I'm going to figure that thing out. For now, I haven't done
it. Stick to it, right? Stick to it. Yeah. I remember I saw a video recently with Irvin Johnson, you know, and Magic Johnson. And he said that when people ask me, what are your most memorable games? It's not the championships I won. It's the close games that I lost, because that's what made me better, you know, and just what you said. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate your time. Appreciate you guys coming on our on the Life by Life West. And awesome to see you, man, even though we're going to see you pretty soon, hopefully in the next month or two, but great to see you. And thanks, Mary. Thank you for joining in. And of course, you're the co-host, and it's been a blast doing these with you. And to our viewers, thank you. Thanks for checking in week after week. And, you know, this is our Life by Life West, and opposite weeks, we drop a life leadership line. And the comments I get, I've been traveling all over the place and people just constantly commenting how great they are and what the things they get out of them. And what they're telling me is that people are sharing them, and that's what we really care about. So thank you for sharing them and spreading the word and letting people know, you know, that there's really good people out there that have just a kernel of information that might change them, might change their life, right? That one adjustment that they just need to kind of tweak or make. And we certainly appreciate you sharing it, because we can't get it out to everybody. Yeah, it's beautiful, man. We're doing wonderful things. And just, you know, keep hugging those people around you and keep letting them know that they're more powerful than they ever, ever believed they could ever be. And keep spreading the chiropractic story, because there's no better story that life comes from within and that health comes from within. And we are all born with exactly what we need. We just have to express it. So until we come at you again, for Dr. Matt, Dr. Mary, and myself, we'll bid you adieu, and we'll see you on the next Life by Life. We'll see you later.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.